It's good to be back with you, especially in this year of celebrating 200 years of Clarksville Baptist Church. I got to be here and worship with you a couple of years ago, I think, and so it's good to be back, especially in such a season of celebration. My sister sent me a powerful quote once. It said, "You can't be who you're going to be and who you used to be at the same time. You can't be who you're going to be and who you used to be at the same time." The day that I left for college, my father went out to our cars earlier in the day than in the morning and had put a note in the passenger seat waiting for me to get there to read it. It was a note. We're not a family that has that's really good with words, but my father has tried to step into these special kind of moments, these important moments, to speak words of wisdom, and that's what this letter was. And I remember that he said he knew I was sad I was leaving home and leaving my friends and my church behind, but he said that I had to say goodbye to all of those things and people in order to be able to say hello to new things, new people, new places. It's really hard to experience the new while stuck in all of the old. The former dean of Campbell University Divinity School that I understand this congregation has some ties to. I've picked up a couple of degrees there. Dr. Michael Cogdell, the former dean, always gave the same sermon at the start of the fall semester every year. And one part of his sermon, he would tell all of the new students that they were starting something new, a new season, a new experience. A new experience that they would forever be changed by. But in order to give themselves fully to this season, they would have to say no to some other things. He always challenges, what will you say no to? What will you remove from your plate? What will you remove from your schedule? Because you cannot just keep adding and expect to give yourself fully to all of it. We only have so much time and energy. His sermon also talks about Jesus even putting up his toolbox, brushing the sawdust off the work table where he worked with his father Joseph, and leaving the workshop for the last time before he began his ministry. The Bible, of course, has a little bit to say about the old and the new. We find almost identical words of Jesus in both Matthew and Mark, but the verses that were read for us earlier were from Mark. The questions come about Jesus fasting. Jesus, why aren't you fasting? We've always fasted. Fasting is what you're supposed to do. Why aren't you doing it? And Jesus just replies, I think, with his own version of, you can't be who you're going to be and who you used to be at the same time. With every new hello, there will be goodbyes. With everything you add on, something must be taken away. Jesus responds to their question by using a symbol that they would have been well aware of, wineskins, which is literally the pouch that they would use to hold wine in. Jesus is using this metaphor, again, to answer the question of why his disciples weren't fasting. And by Jesus saying, look, there will come a time when we won't fast the old way or follow the old laws that are supposed to keep us pious, because we will be living a whole new life. You will be living a whole new life. This new faith, this new life, this new freedom and new responsibility that will be found in me, that will be found in Christ, can't be held in by following the old rules. It's going to take on an entirely different shape than any of the old religion and laws and practices can contain. One study of this scripture I found said, when wine is new, it's in a state of fermentation. It bubbles and it expands as the fermentation gases are released. A fresh, pliable wineskin can absorb such expansion and slowly age with the wine until the fermentation process is complete. To put fresh wine into an old wineskin, however, is asking for trouble. The old wineskin has assumed a definite shape and is no longer pliable. It's fixed and brittle. the activity of new wine, that fermentation, that bubbling activity, will stress it beyond its ability to yield. And so both the wine and the skin are lost. We can't put new ideas into old mindsets. We can't get new results with old behaviors. We are constantly in a new wineskin season, but especially right now. I think no matter what age you are, this just feels like a crazy time in history. It feels chaotic when we look at the news, when we look at world politics, look at the economy, look at rapidly changing culture. It would be easy to get overwhelmed with all of that, but we have permission to create new wineskins. As you celebrate the last 200 years of this church, you are looking towards a new future, and that can be overwhelming. The future of the church today, anywhere, can be overwhelming. Recently, I did an activity with a group of young church leaders. Each participant was given a piece of paper and told to write down everything that they wanted to say yes to in life. What were the most important things that they valued, and how did they want to honor them? What were the things they wanted to pick up and start? What were the new attitudes that they wanted to take hold of? What were the new ways they wanted to invest their time? Every yes in life, though, begins with the no. A no to something that no longer works, that no longer fits, that no longer matches your theology, that no longer fits who you know you were created to be. So they wrote down their yeses, but then they also wrote down their no's in life, the things that they wanted to say no to. We got together and kind of created this makeshift space, this makeshift land of no together. And as they crossed over an imaginary line from the land of no into the land of yes, they would first read off all of their no's. I say no to. And then they would step into the land of yes and turn around and face this group, this community of people, and say out loud all of the things that they wanted to say yes to in life. Yes to in this land of yes that then we created. And it sounds like such a simple exercise, but every time I do it, it's moving. There's power in really committing to live intentionally, and there is power in saying it out loud in front of community. Too often, especially as Christians and in the Christian church, we live in the land of no. We've made a God of only no. And there are some pretty famous no's in Scripture. That's true. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not murder. But there's also a lot of yeses in the Bible. There's a lot of freedom we are given to live into a new reality. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Ephesians 3:12 says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Psalm 118:5 says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We live in the land of Christ. When we live in that land, we are God's child. We live in a land of yes. And in this land, anything is possible. New opportunities, a new pure kind of love that puts one another first, new possibilities as we live into all that God has created us to be. The land of no is that land of what's no longer working for you. There, sometimes your yes rings hollow because it's a yes to what's unhealthy. It's a yes to things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's too many yeses because they come out of obligation and they come out of fear. That's what happened to the faith of the Pharisees. They had been so busy creating rules for themselves, making sure everyone was following those rules, working hard to keep all the rules, that their faith, their belief, their relationship, and worship of God became more about those rules than actually about God. And let me say, I don't mean that we're out here living in a land where anything goes, but I do believe we're living in a land where anything can be possible. In order for possibility and yes to reign supreme, we have to be intentional with what we say yes and no to. We say no to unhealthy relationships because they feed us with lies and bring us down. We say no to consuming whatever we want because we know certain media, certain foods, certain substances are harmful for our body. In God, in Christ, we have the power to be intentional about the new container in which we live. We know that we can't be who we used to be and who we're going to be at the same time. The author of that article that I referenced earlier, Reverend Wayne Manning, also says that we should have a new three R's that we follow. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but instead repent, replace, and relax. Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Repent, as it's used here, means much more than just being conscious stricken. The underlying Greek word means a fundamental change in one's mind or character. To repent is to change one's thinking. Manning says that then we replace that old thought, mindset, or behavior with a new one. We say yes to something in its place. And finally, we can relax. Let the process work. Manning says that relaxing isn't about going back to the old ways, but it means not worrying or straining for results, not establishing unrealistic time frames. He says relaxing means to give things the light touch. It means not condemning the old concepts and behaviors, but just to let them go. They've served their purpose of bringing us to this present moment. Relax and know that God is in charge. And church, this morning, I think we're trying to put a lot of new wine into old wineskins. Most of our churches were built with ministries that naturally grew out of the needs of our communities. In Virginia, we have churches as old as yours, and we have some that even predate 1776, but the programs that fill the church calendar are more recent, much more recent. The programs that we've come to know of as church are more recent. The roles that we have always used to show our faithfulness to God and the church are more recent, especially since the time of Scripture. Most of the pieces of our schedules, the gathering on Sunday mornings at 11 and Wednesday nights, our current model of what a pastor should and should not do, the way that we fill our calendar with programming and on, they all grew out of need. Our churches were bubbling and expanding like that new wine. And what we have now is the wineskin that was shaped by that. The problem is that now the old wineskin itself, to too many churches, has become like the fasting did for the Pharisees. We say that we want the church to grow. We want new life in the pews, but we want it all to fit in the old way it's always fit. God is at work in the world. Make no mistake about it. Whether we are willing to adapt to the new world, the new ways that God is moving, is up to us. Just like the Pharisees missed out on Jesus being right there because they were so concerned with their rules, we may miss out on this side of the stained glass or frosty glass windows if we're unwilling to give up some of the old ways of doing things? What if we applied those three R's to the church? What if we repent of what we have made holy, what we have made paramount, what we have substituted for God? What if we were willing to replace it with something new, to realize that God could be moving in new ways, new possibilities? We cannot continue to add on, continue to dream, continue to meet new needs while holding tightly to what has been. And then we need to relax and let it go. Actively let go and pay attention to what God is doing. Richard Rohr, in his book Falling Upwards, said, "The human ego prefers anything, just about anything, to falling or changing or dying. The ego is that part of you that loves the status quo, even when it's not working. It attaches to past and present, and it fears the future." I want to challenge you to spend some time practicing that exercise of yes and no that I mentioned earlier. Do it with yourself, with your family, with committees and teams that you serve on within the church. Reflect intentionally about your yeses and nos this morning. As you write a no, think about what's possible in its place. As you write the things that you want to say yes to in life, think about what you would have to say no to in order to make that happen. I also, in this momentous year of celebration, want to encourage you to spend some time talking with people on your committees and teams that you serve on here at the church. What would you be willing to give up, to say no to in this church in order to say yes to new possibilities in Jesus? Do we care about the new wine or the old wineskins that we formed? You cannot be who you're going to be and who you were at the same time. The hard work of saying yes or living in the land of yes, the land of new wineskins and possibilities, starts now. And it starts with little steps, small yeses in your own life and in the life of the church. My dad was watching an old kung fu movie last night, and he sent me a quote from it. He told me it made him think of me. I've been deep in the throes of delving into our ancestry through Ancestry DNA to learn more about our family. The student who was learning kung fu in the movie said, "Is it good? And if I was really good, I would like be able to move my mouth and at a different pace of what I say, but I'm not that good this morning." The student in the movie said, "Is it good to seek the past? Does it not rob the present?" To which the master replied, "If we dwell in the past, it robs the present. If we ignore the past, it robs the future. Seeds of our destiny are nurtured by the roots of our past." It's pretty deep for a kung fu movie. In this year of celebration, may you honor your past, celebrate all that it has brought, your deep foundations, but may you also look to the future, so that after the next 200 years, you've launched yourself into the new possibilities, and so people will be celebrating 200 years from now all God has done in that space of time. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins. They will burst. They cannot handle it. You can't be who you're going to be and who you used to be at the same time. With every new hello, there will be goodbyes. With everything you add on, something must be taken away. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Will you pray with me?